Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries here in Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker on the broadcast, director of the Way of Truth Ministries. Delighted you have taken the time today to be with us wherever you may be, whatever time of the day it may be, that your heart will be blessed, challenged, and encouraged in the things of the Lord. We're talking about the love of God, loving God biblically. What's the Bible say about our love for the Lord? And we trust that if you do not know Him as your Savior, this may be the hour, the moment, the day you come to know Him whom to know aright is life eternal. So we thank you for being with us, and we're looking forward to sharing this time with you. Father, how grateful we are for each one of these folk who have taken the time to listen. We realize that by the web, this message will go around the world, and there'll be people in all corners who will hear the Word of God. Many very possibly are not saved, and that this will be an opportunity for them to come to know Thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. Many others will know Thee, have known Thee, and just need that encouragement. We know there are pastors that this is where, over Christian radio, they are getting the help in their study of the Word of God because of the lack of materials that they can study. So they depend on having the Word of God taught properly. So help us not to let them down and not to let you down, Lord, but teach in such a way that they will be able to learn and consequently teach to their people. We just praise you, dear Lord, for the opportunity that's before us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. And if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, why do you love Him? Good question, isn't it? I hope we can give some good, solid, biblical answers by the time we get through our course of study here. We're talking about loving God biblically. How do we demonstrate that? And what would He have us do? Again, our text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Now, there's certainly other verses we've read, and we're going to be looking at other ones. We're going to go back to chapter 10 in just a moment of the book of Deuteronomy. But here's what it says in verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now, on past broadcasts, we went back to the New Testament, and we looked at what Matthew declared in chapter 22 and verse 37, what Mark declared in chapter 12 and verse 30, and or actually 29 and 30, and Luke chapter 10, verse 27. These were all references to this very verse, verse 5. And they shed light from a little bit different angle, not trying to change anything. They're shedding light on how the Lord utilized that or said that in the situation in which is recorded there in those Gospels. But the very simple fact is that God expects you and I to love Him. Now, how can we love Him biblically? You and I both might say, I love the Lord, and we might be serious about that. We might honestly love the Lord, and I hope we do. But how do we display that? Go back with me to chapter 10 of the book of Deuteronomy. Now, it's interesting, we're here, and this is the final commands and the final lessons from Moses to the children of Israel. The next book, Joshua, is going to tell us who's taken over the reins. Moses will die. Joshua will pick up the reins as God has directed, and he will lead Israel. But what Moses is doing is setting the stage for these people to realize that this relationship with God is determined between they and God. You can have the greatest leader. You might have one of those fantastic pastors that could ever be. I mean, he's got a godly attitude. He's got a godly presentation of the Word of God. He studies hard. He's diligent and so forth. And you and I can be as carnal as a way as anything. We can be talking love out of our mouth and living hatred or living disgust, living whatever. But how do we really show God that we love Him? And that's what Moses is doing. He is showing the children of Israel one word I would use. He is saying obedience. My wife used to have a little saying on the refrigerator, probably more for me than the kids, but it was there for the kids. Obedience is doing what you are told, when you are told, with the right heart attitude. What a great lesson that was. What a great saying that was. But it was a reality. It was real. Now go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10, and Moses is here, and he is talking, and he has already talked about, back in verse 10, how that he had spent 40 days, 40 nights with the Lord, and how the people had turned away from the Lord while he was there, while he was communicating with the Lord, and not realizing that God was trying to get, he was given Moses, and he was successful in that. He was giving Moses the Ten Commandments. He was giving Moses the ceremonial practice that he wanted the people to do to show their love for him. And while he did that, the people were turning against the Lord. They said, well, that's this Moses guy. We don't know where he's at. Don't know what he did. They probably thought he went on vacation or something, yet he was up in the mount talking with the Lord talking with him. And he says, I stayed in the mount according to the first time. So it's the second time during their journey. In fact, it was all both right close together. He come down from the mount, saw them dancing around the fire of the golden calf that Aaron had made. And he threw the plates down, the Ten Commandments, and broke them. Well, then God, after he did the judgment of the people there, called Moses to come right back up in the mountain and for another 40 days. He was going to be there 40 days and 40 nights. He said, I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, that the Lord would not destroy thee. He went there and interceded. If you'll recall, when he saw the people in the wicked sin, and God said, step back, Moses, I'm going to kill them all and make a nation out of you. And Moses said, no, you're not. Nope. You forgive them, or else blot my name out of your book. Well, God wasn't going to do that. And so he hearkened to Moses' intercession for them. And then he said in verse 11, and the Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. After they had rebelled against God, And Moses had interceded for them. God had brought what judgment would he would bring and destroyed many of the children of Israel. And now he says, now take them into the land. Well, you know the account in the book of Numbers. They get to the edge of the land at Kadesh Barnea, and then they would not go in. They said, no, no, it's too big for us. It's too tough for us. Yeah, it's a land of milk and honey. But 10 of the spies of the 12 that went in said, we can't do it. I mean, it's all beautiful. It's exactly what God said. But there's no way we can take it. Those people are giants, and we look like ants in our own eyes. Well, Caleb and Joshua said, we can take them. There's no problem there. God's given it to us. Let's go get it. Well, Caleb and Joshua had to wander for 40 years, and then they would have the opportunity to go in and possess the possessions that God had given them. Well, you come to verse 12, and this is where I want us to look at 12 and 13. We're talking about the love of God. Now, you've come through a challenge here in chapter 10, the earlier part, where Moses broke those Ten Commandments, had to go back up in a mountain and get the further instruction from the Lord. Now, that's all given to us in earlier in Exodus and so forth. But what you want to look at in verse 12, how are the children of Israel going to demonstrate they really love the Lord? Well, look what God says. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Okay, let's look at it. But to fear the Lord thy God, first of all, to show an adoration and respect, a fear of the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. That fear of the Lord, not the fear of God having a heavenly baseball bat and going to crack you over the head if you do something wrong. But the fact is that God has given us his word, and he expects us to obey it. His word is so holy and sacred that we dare not violate his word. And so it is a fear of the Lord is to understand, you know, I feared my dad. He ever took his belt off, I knew what was going to happen. He'd ply that belt to the seat of learning for me, and I deserved every one of them what they gave me. And I remember one time Dad and I were talking, and we were talking about punishment like that or whatever, and I joked with him, and I said, Dad, I said, I probably didn't get all the paddlings I should have had. And he said, well, he said, we could start doing it again. Now, I mean, I was married and I was working for my dad. And I said, no, I said, we'll just hold off on that. Let's just pretend I got everyone I needed. But, you know, I feared my dad when I did wrong. He was going to call me into an account. It wasn't always a paddling. He did a lot of different things in discipline. But I knew Dad would not let me get away with whatever he knew I had done wrong. And boy, if I ever sassed my mom, that was the last thing I wanted to ever do. Because if I did that, there was almost no mercy from Dad. You did not raise your voice to mom. You didn't do it to Dad, but you definitely didn't do it to mom. As your mom would just say, Chas, I think the boys need to be corrected. And what did they do? And boy, when he heard that, and when we heard that, we didn't like that. But you know what? I loved my dad and my mom, but the thing is, I feared Dad. I knew Dad would call me into an account. This is what God's saying. Realize that we're going to have to live in God is a God of love. Read 1 John. We'll get back there and look at a couple of verses later on. But the point I'm trying to bring is this. God has given his word. He's going to stand by his word. Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 6 that when he would swear to Abraham, especially according to that promise in chapter 12 so forth, he could swear by no higher. He swore by his name. Now, that doesn't mean he used blasphemy. No, he made an oath. He declared according to his name and according to his character that he would stand firm on this which he promised Abraham. And so Abraham could believe it. Yes, if they disobeyed, God would paddle them. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and every son he scourgeth betimes. And you know, that's one of the big problems that we have in our society today. You're not supposedly allowed to paddle your child if he does wrong. I think the government and all ought to stay out of it, and I don't think there's brutality. No, sir. I don't agree with that at all. But I'm saying there needs to be the discipline. If my little guy, when he was little, needed his hand smacked because he got something he shouldn't have, he did something he shouldn't have, I'd smack his hand. Now, I didn't leave marks. It might have been a little bit red, but it never hurt him, never broke a finger. If I paddled him on the bottom, it was on the bottom, not on the back, not on the legs, on the bottom. You see, God put a little extra padding back there so that you could discipline them. And you know what? They respected that. They understood. I understood what my dad did. And I didn't like it. Who does like that? Well, God does the same thing. God paddles us at times. It may be a discipline. He doesn't use a strap or a belt or anything like that. But you see, first of all, the fear of the Lord. That's how I can show I love him. Let's look at the second thing. To walk in all his ways. Now, how do I find out his ways? I study the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I want to go in the correct way is what the psalmist is saying. I want to follow the correct principles that you give. And so I walk in his ways. Paul told the Ephesians, he told the Colossians, he said, walk circumspectly, upright. Walk somewhat, if may I say it this way, walk at attention when you're serving the Lord. That people will see what you really are, how you really follow the guidelines and the word of God. He says, walk in his ways. Then he goes on to say, to love him. Now, it's a direct command, love him. Well, you see, you're evidencing a love when you will show that respect, that fear, that what God says is true, what God says he will back up. And also that when I walk in his ways, it'll be a clear path that people will see. And literally, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now, I'm to love him. And there's so many things. And again, look at 1 Corinthians 13. We will look there later on in our message. But 1 Corinthians 13, Paul describes to the Corinthians how you can demonstrate your love. Now, it's not superficial. It's very emphatic. It's very spiritual, but a great chapter on love. Now, and then to serve the Lord thy God. Now, all of us have special ways in which we can serve the Lord. All of us may not be able to do this and that and the other thing, but we can all serve the Lord. You know, I praise the Lord. We have to have maintenance work done in our office building. And I've got a gentleman that comes in and does it. He does a lot around the church. Now, he's a handyman. He's a good worker, diligent, and just did a job for us. And I mean, you just watched him. He was moving rapidly but cautiously. He was doing the job right the first time. And, you know, that's what God is looking for. That man, yes, we paid him for working there. We should have paid him for working there. But the point that I bring out is he did the job as unto the Lord. He wanted to please the Lord. Well, that's what we ought to do. You know, my dad was a man of that nature as well. When he did a job, it was done right. It may have taken longer than somebody else could do. And I had a fellow tell me that one time. You know, your dad, he takes him a little bit longer to do it, but when it's done, it is done. And that was true. I was honored to have my dad, to work with my dad, because I knew that we were going to do the job right. And that's what he taught me from little up. Well, now he says you to love the Lord, to serve the Lord thy God. He may have you to go out and talk to people about the Lord. We have folk in our church that go out and hand out Bibles to every home, given sections of our city, Altoona. You know, that's one job that some can do. We have some people that work in our food kitchen every first Saturday of a month. And it has been an evangelistic tool. It has helped people, has encouraged people. It's brought people together to fellowship. You see, they're serving the Lord. Well, even on Wednesday night, early, prior to the children's church and the prayer meeting going on, children come in and they get a meal. Now, it's a tragedy that their own families do not provide the meal for them. With all the food services that we have here in America, there's no reason they couldn't. They don't. And I thank God that our church is sensitive to that. And I mean that. I think it's a shame about the parents, but if there's a legitimate problem, I can understand. But I thank the Lord that we've got people that serve the food for them. It's just a little something extra, but it is serving the Lord. And he says this, he says, not only to serve the Lord, thy God, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord. Not just thinking of the Ten Commandments, but the challenge. You know, one of a new commandment I give you, love one another. Develop a love relationship for God's people. Develop a relationship, a love relationship for those people outside of the family of God. That they know that people care for them. We get a society that doesn't care for anybody, seemingly. And boy, what a refreshment when you see churches reach out. And, we have a bus ministry that we run throughout different areas of Altoona to bring people into church so they'll have a way in. In some cases, it's widow ladies who have no transportation. They've got physical problems, but we go right there to their apartments and bring them in. You see, that is part and parcel of what he's saying. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Now, here's where we see a demonstration of our love for the Lord. We're going to look again in just a few moments. We're going to listen to a song now, then go back to chapter 30 of Deuteronomy and see some more portions of scripture that talk about the relationship or the love that we should have for the Lord.
Justice on Calvary to make a plea for man's soul. Justice said, the guilty I will slay. I want the whole man to control. The soul that sinneth shall die. Justice raised the cross of Calvary to slay man with his last breath. Love met justice on Calvary. Mercy brings this man that set me justice on Calvary. Truth and mercy met on that day. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. Love was there to pay the price for me. Love is Christ who died on Calvary. It's finished, we hear Jesus say. Justice covered his face on that day. Love met justice on Calvary. And by his wondrous grace I am free. Love met justice on Calvary. Mercy bridged the span that set me free. He who knew no sin became sin for me. justice on Calvary. Love met justice on Calvary.
Amen. I hope that was a blessing to your heart. Love met justice on Calvary. Boy, when you think about what took place there in Calvary, what a blessed people we are who have believed in Jesus Christ. Well, we want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. While we're turning there, and, you know, I mentioned Matthew, Mark, and Luke talking about that loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, might, and strength. It's given in all three of those accounts, along with Deuteronomy 6. But, you know, we didn't mention John, but if you go back to the Gospel of John, you really have to take chapters 13 through 15. Actually, you could go all the way back to 17, because that's the high priestly prayer of the Lord. But in that section, there is so much evidence of love, and that can be translated into our lives and thus into the world around us. Now, I'm only going to have time to look at and give you the text here of Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're actually in verses 14 through 16. I'll read them. We'll not have time on this program to really enumerate the things I want to share with you. But the word is very nigh thee, even, or not unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his way, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. What a statement that God makes through Moses to the children of Israel as they are about to embark on that journey into the promised land. We'll go and pick up right there on next week's broadcast. Thank you for listening. If we might be of spiritual help to you, please contact us. Contact us at wotbm.org. And God bless you abundantly. This is Brother Fon Miller. Thank you.